Pasta mozza pasta. Rabbi Nachman said in the Tisha Motzei Shabbos that you must never deny your past. And there's a lot of things that if you look back from, you can actually grow from them. Doesn't mean you have to publicize them, but you can look back and grow from them. Ein l'sha'er et ha'ashpa'a ha'atzuma ha'nuda'at l'limud musar ha'kavua. You cannot imagine the tremendous influence that comes to a person who learns Musar on a constant basis. There was a rabbi who was a student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was called Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam. And he wrote a spiritual will. And in his will he wrote the following. B'chalal agid lechem, ki ma she'emid oti al raglai b'nyanei avodas Hashem, hu rak limud ha'musar. K'mon shekibalti v'ra'iti b'mei choladai t'admor zatzal shechazar ma'amah kol ha'poresh. M'divrei Torah eisho cholto. Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam tells this personal story of what got him into the world of Musa. And he says that he was once sitting and he saw Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was sitting with a Musa Sefer, and he came across this phrase that said, anyone who moves away from learning Torah is eaten alive by fire. Now, I don't know what exactly that means. It's a statement by Chazal. One could, you know, take it to wherever they want to take it to, but always have to be careful that it's a building statement. Sometimes you read a scary statement and it pushes you off, it makes you feel like scared, and some people it actually encourages them. It's irrelevant what it's saying, it's more relevant where it takes you. Sometimes a Torah statement is very true, but you're not at the place now to receive it well, and it will make you feel disconnected from Torah. It's important not to read it at that stage. You're not ready, you're not ripe enough, you're not mature enough, whatever it is. You're not in the emotional state to read it at that time. Fine. But when you do read something that speaks to you and you take it, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was in a zone like that, and he started saying this phrase again and again. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was sitting over there in the room, and he was saying, Kol aporesh midivrei Torah esho choto, again and again, with a loud voice, and his lips were on fire. And Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, he was watching. V'chol yom shani lomed musar, and when he saw that, that ignited him. Meaning Raftali saw Rabbi Yisrael speaking words of Torah in a way that was being absorbed into his heart, that transformed him. He said, you can learn Musa like that? Musa can transform you? So Raftali, he started learning Musa like that as well. And he said, and since then it ignited me. I had a better day when I learned Musa as a result of that, because I'm more connected to my inner world. And as we're going to learn in the next section, the goal of Musa is not that you have more external knowledge, but the goal of Musa is that it transforms your inner world. So once you learn Musa in a way that you're more in touch with who you more authentically and genuinely are, then your whole world is better because you're talking to Hashem. Just to go back to our mashal that we said a moment ago, if a person tries the fake way of growing in Avodah Hashem, where they say, I'm going to pretend I'm someone that I'm not, and they just, you know, put on other clothing and they try to learn in a way which is not authentic to who they are because they're pretending to be someone on a high level, so all their growth over there is just trying to make up an image of someone who's not them. Meaning it's all an act. Now if you're acting, then your real self isn't connecting to Hashem. So there's no real feeling of connection. All the time a person is pretending, if their goal is to pretend that they're really on this level, they're not going to feel a relationship with Hashem, they're not going to grow. However, if a person's over here and he's always authentic with who he is, now he is pretending as well, this guy, because he's also jumping, but he's jumping such small steps that is able to say, this is authentically who I am, and I'm aware that I'm doing a little bit of pretending, but it's okay, because if I act in a certain way which is not authentic to who I am, my heart will follow. That only works if you're overall in line with yourself, and you take on one small thing which is extra out of sync with who you are, but you know you're doing it to pretend, and you know you're trying to absorb it. That can work. It can't work if you're being totally inauthentic to who you are. So how does Musa work? Musa says to you, I'm right here. This is who I am. I'm authentic to who I am. And when you're connected deeply to who you are, then you are connected to Hashem. When people come and say, I don't need to connect to Hashem, it's likely they're not connected to themselves. Because how can you connect to Hashem if you don't know who you are? If you don't have a deep understanding of where you're holding in your midas and your struggles, if you don't know what your strengths are, then how can you connect to Hashem? That's often a problem in Shidduchim. In Shidduchim, the boy goes out to the girl and he wants to feel connected to her to see if he can marry her. So then she starts asking him questions about himself. And he says, I don't know. Lots of things he doesn't know. And not because he's humble. Just because he hasn't learned Musa. And he hasn't thought deeply about who he is. So he starts trying to connect to her. But he's not going to get anywhere deep with her. Because only a person who has a deep recognition of who he is, he can then say, from my deep recognition of who I am, let me connect deeply to who you are. Now it could be there's very, very different people with totally different worlds. But there's a certain level of deepness that a person has to have in recognition of themselves, their strengths, their weaknesses, their challenges of who they are, then they're able to connect deeper. You obviously can't connect more deeply to someone else if you're not that level of depth connected to yourself. Because where are you in the picture? It has to be first the self. I understand myself deeply, and then according to how I understand myself, if they're open and I'm open, then I'm able to get close to them as well. Now you want to come and connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu deeply? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely able to connect to you from his side. How much are you able to connect to him? It depends how much you're in touch with yourself. If you're deeply in touch with who you are, then you will be able to connect deeply with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can understand what Rabbi Naftali was saying. Any day I learn Musa, everything about me is better. My actions, my words, my thoughts, because he's more connected to who he is authentically. So he realizes how these actions are making a difference according to what his values are. He realizes how these thoughts are building him towards his major goal that he's working on, of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's in line with his vision, it's in line with his mission. Often I say deru, kasher shamati pi admor. So Rabbi Naftali is still speaking and he's saying, this is the way to learn Musa. A person should divide up his Musa Seder into two parts. So for example, if a person is learning an hour of Musa a day, he should have 2 half-hour slots. In the first half-hour slot, he learns a Musa Sefer. In the way that you're supposed to learn, learn bi'iyun, bi'mit bonen, think of the ideas. Take one of the classics like Mises Hashon Mochovos Havavos and read the Sefer. And the second half should be where, after having read it and being medayan in it, making diyukim in it, then take a particular phrase that comes out of it, the one that you feel most connected to, the one that you feel will most build you, the one that you feel will most resounds with you, then take that phrase and say it again, and say it again, and say it again, and say it again. Could also be from Pirkei Avos, and say it again and again, and then it will deepen and deepen and deepen your thoughts about what this is saying, and you will come to an inner recognition of where this resounds with me, what it is with me. I'll add in as well that at the end of doing that, you should make notes. Should like write down, where did it touch me, what did I think I was in this area until I wrote this, until I learned this piece, where am I now having learned this piece, and that will give a person a much deeper recognition of themselves within Musa. So we've now concluded the topic of learning Musa, which means that you're just beginning, that you have the tools now. Right now, we have handed over, the Alei Shor has handed over the tools of how to learn Musa. Now what we're doing is not yet learning Musa. All we're doing is learning about how to learn Musa. Now we haven't actually done the learning of Musa yet. Right, all we've done is like introduction to learning Musa. Now you have to go do it. You have to take the Mises Hashoram, you have to take the Chovos Ravos, you have to take the Pirkei Avos, whatever sefer it is you choose, and you have to read the work slowly, be medayik in the words, have your own notebook where you're writing down where it touches you and affects you and resounds with you. If a particular phrase speaks out to you, say it again and again and again and again until you get bored of it, and then keep saying it until you say, okay, so what deeply is it saying? And then at that point you'll have a breakthrough and you'll understand it much deeper. We finished the topic of Musa. I just want to have the quote that we're going to be doing for the next time, just so that we're in a flow. The next topic that we're speaking about is Chesed and Yirat Shamayim, and then we're going to see how those two link together. First, we're going to speak about Chesed by itself, and then we're going to speak about Yirat Shamayim by itself, and then we're going to speak about how those two link together. That's part of the second chapter. But he opens with just a quote from Chazal, the end of Masechet Sukkah. Let's learn it together. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol ha'oseh tzedaka u'mishpat ki'ilu male et kol olam kulo b'chesed. Anyone who does tzedakah and mishpat, it's as if he fills the entire world. Meaning he only did it with a particular person. Right? He was just doing it in one area. But by doing it even in one area, he fills the entire world with chesed. Shne'emar ohev tzedaka u'mishpat chesed Hashem li ha'aretz. Someone who loves tzedakah and mishpat, he fills the entire world with chesed. Shema tomar kol ha'ba'al lechvot kofetz, and maybe you'll say anyone who wants to do chesed can do it. Anyone who wants, just jump in. Talmud lomar ma yakar chas lechay Elokim. How precious is it to do chesed? Meaning, it doesn't sound like it's such an easy thing to come by. The fact that you desire doing chesed doesn't mean you'll be able to do it. It's precious. Not everyone can do it. Yechol af yirat shamayim kein. You might think that even for someone who has yirat shamayim, even for him it's hard to do chesed. It won't come to him necessarily. You might think that. Talmud lomar, the chesed Hashem me'olam ve'ad olam al yireyav. If someone has yirat shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send an opportunity to do chesed. So for a yirat shamayim Jew who's looking to do chesed, the opportunities abound. For someone who's not a yirat shamayim Jew, even if he tries to do chesed, he may not find the opportunity to do it. Hashem won't necessarily give him the chance. Amar Rav Chama bar Papa, kol mi sheyesh alav chesed, b'yadua shehu yirat shamayim. Shneemar, v'chesed Hashem me'olam v'ad olam al yireyav. So Rabbi Chama bar Papa has a different way of interpreting the pasuk. He says, anyone who has on him chesed, we'll see what Rashi says in a second what that means exactly. Anyone who has on him chesed, the opportunity of doing chesed comes his way, then it's a sign for you that he's someone who has Yirat Shamayim. Meaning, anyone who you see is successful in the chesed that he's doing chesed in a way that succeeds and it has fruits, it pays off, and you can tell that's someone with Yirat Shamayim. It's a simon. Rashi says, Shema kol haba likfots v'lasot tzedakah v'chesed kofetz ומספיקים וממציאים לו אנשים מהוגנים לכך, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will enable you and provide for you people who are really worthy of receiving. Not so simple. מה יקר? צריך לתת לב ולתרוח ולרדוף אחריה לפי שאין המוציאה תמיד לזכות ולמהוגנים. It's not always clear that the fact that you wish to do chesed, Hashem will send you the right people. There are organizations out there or people out there who are not authentic. And they're also asking for tzedakah. And the fact that if you just give randomly to every person, there's no guarantee that all the money that you've given will go to a good cause. And sometimes there are good causes which are authentic, but when you devote to them, in the end it ends up that because of outside issues, that money doesn't end up paying results. For example, right now there's a shul in England which they started building and they invested a lot of money into, but two of the main donors who were supporting the building of the shul passed away in Corona. And now, they're totally stuck. They don't have money to continue building the shul. The shul's half built, and they don't have money to finish the shul. They're having to pay all the builders, and they can't afford to pay for the builders. They just got stuck. And they're just totally stuck. They're paying a lot of money, they have to pay debts because the promised money is not coming in, and they have no way of continuing. So sometimes, that's a very good cause. You know, you're investing in the chesed, you're doing a good thing, but then that's not any fault of yours. Something out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. It just gets stuck. So the goal of what we just came to see now, which we're going to go on in more detail with Hashem next time, is that you see that there's an innate link between Yirat Shemayim and Chesed. We see from the first source that Gemara quotes in the end of Masechet Sukkah, is that only someone who is got Yirat Shemayim will be Zocha, the Chesed will pay off, it will be real Chesed, it will have an effect. That's point number one. And point number two is if you see that someone is able to do Chesed, then that's a simon for you as well that they have Yirat Shamayim. The two seem absolutely linked. And our goal in the next couple of sessions is to see what is that link, what is the underlying theme, what is the bond between doing Chesed and Yirat Shamayim. They're two separate things. Maybe you could have one without the other. Maybe someone could have Yirat Shamayim but not do so much Chesed. Maybe someone could do lots of Chesed but not have Yirat Shamayim. They seem to us independent. Why does the Gemara link them and say they're really one concept? That was to bait your appetite for the next time, but Hashem will continue from that point.